SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday. I'm going to say baseball fans. How about that? Baseball and racing fans. We may have a baseball special for you today. And you're saying, what do you mean? It'll come together. It'll come together. And then some of it, tinged with sadness, because Nick Zito is going to join us after the first break. And Nick will talk about his whole professional career and relationship with Hank Steinbrenner, and of course Nick, one of the trainers that had horses for the Steinbrenner family and kinsmen, and so Nick is going to join us and. You know, obviously there's the baseball tie-in. And then later, actually, in hour two, I don't know how many of you are enjoying, these greatest games of all time segments that are, turning up on a lot of sports networks. But last night, game one of the 1988 World Series and Kirk Gibson's home run. And whether you heard and remember the Vin Scully call, I suppose if you're LA Basin, then Dodger faithful locally, or whether you remember from the national side and Jack Buck, I don't believe what I just saw. Either way, it's one of the most memorable moments in baseball and really in sports history, certainly from the last, 40, 50 years. And there is a very distinct tie-in from, and you're saying, what could this have possibly? Although Lasorda turns up at the racetrack now and then. But no, it's not. It's Mitch Poole, who you may have read about yesterday in USA Today. Mitch, at the time, was the clubhouse attendant, bat boy, essentially, at the time, and is now, decades later, the longest tenured employee of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he's an owner. He's in on Fast Pharaoh with Jeff Bondi. And Mitch was instrumental because Kirk Gibson wasn't going to play. I'll let him tell the whole story. Some of you probably saw the piece in USA Today and then watched the game last night. I know Mitch watched the game last night. So we'll talk to Mitch Poole, and potentially I'm waiting for the confirmation. Victor Martinez, King Guillermo, who had a very nice work this morning as he prepares for the Arkansas Derby. And we didn't get a chance to talk to Victor in the aftermath of Tampa, of the Tampa Bay Derby. But this is, another, interesting horse that bubbled to the surface and given the circumstances, has been a little out of sight, out of mind. So maybe a baseball themed At the Races. Hank Steinbrenner, Mitch Poole, Victor Martinez. All right. So in addition, and Seth Merrill later, we'll probably look at Tampa with Seth. And I think Steve Haskin today, because Steve's tied up tomorrow with Joan and her. You know, she's got, as Steve explained, when I was having my eye issues, Steve explained that Joan has had, you know, her share. So she's got an appointment tomorrow that Steve is taking her to. So I said, why not today? So Steve Haskin probably today as well, and we'll get his impressions of the Oaklawn Stake winner and start to, whatever topic, as we discovered yesterday with Andy. I mean, not that that's new, but I think Andy, Johnny, really all the regulars, you never know where the conversation leads. But Steve Haskin today. John Leese is going to join us and call it Mea Culpa Wednesday. I don't know. Last Tuesday, of course, here was the Fonner force out on their pick five. And the DQ, you know, sent people, you know, on tilt. And you know, it's actually interesting, as Marcus Hirsch yesterday, and thanks to Marcus for the visit yesterday, which included a very good couple of very nice pushes, although that one horse got bet down to nothing at Will Rogers. That 8-1 shot of Bill Morey's, and you know, had the best last race buyer, and there were reasons to bet Sugoi Rye Eichelberry, but didn't expect him to go off at 2-1 as the favorite. But still, Marcus zeroed in on him. Anyway, last week with the Fonner Park pick five, and Chris Katulak nice enough to visit with us. We got a similar situation, but a little different, and with a happy resolution, frankly, as to what happened yesterday with Will Rogers. And when we were talking with Marcus, and I had heard from Eric on Twitter that there had been discussion, and I guess TVG had said something about it on Sunday or Monday, that Will Rogers was going to move their pick five to a jackpot. And it was supposed to start as a jackpot accrual yesterday. And I reached out to John Leese right away, and then he got back to me a little bit later in the morning, confirming that the tote company was working on the technical aspect, you know, of changing the programming, but that, yes, they were going to start yesterday. Well, then, and I wanted to make sure to get that information out to people who were curious before the sequence started, which was the second race. So I sent out a tweet confirming, you know, the speculation that Will Rogers was going to do this. And as we talked yesterday, you know, with Andy, when it came up, particularly with Andy, you know, we were both disdainful of the jackpot bet for, you know, all the reasons that, you know, that you would be, you know, down on the concept. You know, holds money out of circulation, builds itself on the back of, you know, smaller bettors, is advertised as a bit of a come on, no, you know, 20 cents or 50 cents and you can win. Yeah, sure. And, you know, and then the worst part, frankly, is that when we get to distribution days, invariably the sequence is impossible for anybody with small money. That to me is a lot of times the, you know, the most irksome aspect. Anyway, mid-afternoon, John Leese came back and said a couple of things. I mean, there was a huge outcry when I put out that confirmation of the jackpot concept that they were moving to. People were just astounded. They were aghast at it, because it's been an instant hit. They'd only run it for five cards, and the thing is pulling 200,000 in handle a day. So, you know, everybody was like, why would you do this? Well, fortunately, and to their great credit, and John will, you know, John's going to join us. They saw, and they don't have, you know, they really do not have a, you know, they got the Cherokee Casino moniker, but they don't have a real social media presence at Will Rogers. But they saw, and John showed management the backlash and the outrage on Twitter. And it just so happens that United Tote could not get the programming done in time for the second race yesterday. And so the bets were not processed as jackpot. So the jackpot did not start. And then, as they discussed it over the afternoon, management said, okay, if the public doesn't want it, if the horse players are turned off, we won't do it. So well done. And then people that, you know, so then when John tweeted later that it would remain a conventional pick five, and then I echoed it and tried to get it out to the people that had seen, you know, the news from earlier in the afternoon, and people were really impressed, and rightly so, that Will Rogers responded the way they did and saw that this was a mistake. And then just to stick with the conventional daily pick five. And yesterday, actually, it kind of chalked out. And to give you an idea, it drew 177,500 on Monday. Yesterday, 194,000. And it ended up paying $280. And it had a sequence, really, of mostly favorites, although the 3-5 favorite, Woods of Congaree, in the anchor leg in the sixth, failed to win. But the second choice came in, and so the sequence went like this. Honest and Lucky, who was the third choice, an $8 winner, and then second choice at just under 2-1, Sedaris. And second choice, Concrete Finisher, a Verrazano gelding, trainer Ron David. And the fourth leg, it's Yes, the near second choice, just over 5-2. Yes, it's True Colt for Matthew Yates before Burback for Mark Buehrer. There he is again. Mark Buehrer's a couple of days in a row. So no favorites, actually. I didn't add up the parlay, but 280, 90. And we'll talk to John Leese. And we're also going to talk to Scott Young, trainer Scott Young, who won the nightcap with Nurse List, Wire to Wire, for Danny Caldwell, Oklahoma bred, a Dr. Chit filly. I love that. Actually, it was bred by Toby Keith. How about that? Three-year-old filly, 5-2, Nurse List. I was watching that. And then I was watching at Fawner and the Stake. I tell you, the stewards, stewards getting a workout at Fawner. Eaton's Memory won the Runza Stake at 9-1. And Thoroughgraph users, and if you're a member of Thoroughgraph Player Services, Monday, Tuesdays are free. You get free sheets. Well, Eaton's Memory was very much live on the on the sheet. Pair of eights. This is an Eaton's Gift Texas bred that Hibden owns and got to the front, you know, quickly enough under Armando Martinez. And, you know, once again, off the turn, you know, a little bit of jostling, and had to survive an objection, but it was quickly dismissed. This filly keeps, this is a four-year-old, this keeps improving. And she definitely took another step forward yesterday. And the Fawner, speaking of the pick fives, the Fawner pick five is back growing like a weed again. It's up already in a week. It's up to 190,000 already. And I guess they're going to give it away next week or the week after. They're going to have another distribution day. So a lot of people said, oh, I'm never playing Fawner again. And then they immediately played Fawner again. That's right. We're all that way. By the way, Happy Valley running today. Right now, you can get some morning action in. We're going to take a break. We got a fun morning. 3 hours of horse talk and baseball talk. Hot stove. Nick Zito, to pay tribute to Hank Steinbrenner, starts us off back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
I preach, my dear friends, you're about to receive on John Barleycorn, Nicotine, and the Temptations of Eve.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
No barking by the sewer sign, hot dogs, my razor broke, water dripping up the spout, but I don't care, let it all hang out. hanging from a pine tree by my knees, sunshine through the shade. Nobody knows what it's all about. It's too much, man. Let it all hang out.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into Wednesday, and most times it's a delight to have Nick Zito join us on any variety of topics and runners. In this case, it's to pay tribute to Hank Steinbrenner. And late yesterday morning in the show, the news started to come out, and of course, Kinsman Stable and the, you know, several decades of racing success of horses with John Ward and with Bill Mott and with Nick and, of course, Bellamy Road and Dream Supreme and others. Nick, first of all, good morning and thanks for joining us. Hope you and Kim and the staff is safe and doing okay.
Well, likewise, Steve. Thank you. I really appreciate everything. Yes, everybody's okay, thank God. Difficult times, but yeah, I got the. I hope you're doing the same, and Tina and everybody, and hanging there. You're doing a great job as usual. Yeah, what happened yesterday? I got a message from Jessica Steinbrenner. You know, hi Nick. I just wanted you to know that Hank passed away last night, and I know you guys have been close for many years, so. When I reached out to you yesterday, I think I left you a message because he was such an interesting guy, Steve. It was unbelievable. I don't know if, you know, he only had a few people, I think, in racing that could actually get to him and, you know, have conversations with him. He was kind of a guy that stayed by himself. You know, the word is whatever they call it, recluse, whatever the word is, but mm-hmm. he certainly stayed by himself and he liked the. You know, Ventura boys, you like Tommy and Jimmy, I know that. And not many very people he talked to. But what fascinated me about Hank over the years, we kept his friendship, and I was really sad to hear his passing because I didn't even keep up with him the last year and a half, whatever the year I guess it was. I hadn't spoke to him in about a year or something. And I'd always run into the Steinbrenner family. They'd say, you talk to Hank lately? I said, you know, yeah, I think it's the sales. I ran to Jess and Kevin that runs, you know, they help with Kingsman and the Yankees. And the Steinbrenner family to me was always close. But Hank and I had this incredible relationship with breeding and talking about breeding. He was basically one of the guys that I would say was right up there. The mind and breeding he had was beyond belief. And he was responsible over the years for so many of those good horses that Kingsman has. You talk about, you know, the inbreeding and components and chromosomes, and how it works. And he was like a genius type of guy when it came to breeding. And nobody, I don't think anybody knew that. So I want to kind of share that with your audience because obviously, you know, you think of the Steinbrenners and you think about the Yankees and, you know, the great dynasty they had, but he was into horses, and he was just great, and just fantastic at it. And there's a funny story about when I told you he was hard to get to. Well, I think Dan Pride at the time was working for Darley, and he goes to me, goes, Nick, I need Hank. Hank, I don't know how he knew, he, you know, we were friendly. He goes, I need Hank Steinbrenner's number. And I said, no, I said, what do you mean my number? Daniel Kingsman had a bunch of trainers, and I felt out of place. And anyway, later he apologized, but that was because they were Darley. I think Dan was working for Darley, and I think they were trying to buy, and Coolmore got involved, I think, and they wound up with Majestic Warrior. But Hank, I was pretty sure Hank did the mating on that one. And he was just a very interesting guy, Steve. Very interesting guy. I'll tell you another quick story. 2009, I took Tim Poole with me and Rod. That's been with me forever to the 2009 World Series game. And I saw him walking on the field. You know, I guess, you know, the Steinbrenner family, Jess and Jennifer and Hank and Hal, obviously. They were all going to get the trophy. And I called him because it looked to me that he was so proud of that night. I called him right after. It was a late night, and I had driven from upstate with the guys where you live, you know, in Saratoga. And it was a great night that night, the 2009 World Series. But he's a special guy, really. A guy I wish more people would have known him, but he stayed by himself.
It seemed that, you know, the consensus out there, you know, it was obviously, I mean, given, 63 years old, and you know, the fact that actually George lived to a fairly ripe old age himself. And so this, I think, seemed to, you know, really shake people up. And you know, not a, you know, it's not Corona related, but he is, you know, among the family, despite being involved in all the different areas, he was the least visible, you know, the one that, you know, I'm glad you mentioned Tom and Jimmy Ventura, because I mentioned yesterday, I mentioned that Hank is on the board of OBS, and, you know, his, you know, the farm, the Kinsmen, you know, they keep horses in Ocala, and you know, really tied, and like George, I mean, he seemed to really enjoy the horse side of it, and you know, it seemed like a real outlet both for his father and for him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I used to love when I talked to him. You know what he'd say to me? He'd say, "Did you talk to George lately?" He never would call him my father or dad. He would always call him George. That kind of was kind of funny to me. It was interesting. He said, "Did you talk to George lately?" What did George say? It's funny. But he's really, really a special guy when it came to breeding. I'm telling you. You know, I don't know if Sid Fernando knew him, but boy, I would have loved to have seen those two guys get together.
You know, I'll ask Sid. Sid's going to be on later. We did a business discussion yesterday, a day early, but Sid's going to be on for a pedigree portion. We wanted to talk about the winner from Saturday at Oaklawn, Mr. Big News, who's got a pedigree to, you know, to run all day. So I'll ask. I'll absolutely ask Sid if he had any if he's had any Kinsmen association. You know, Nick, for you, I mean, obviously Bill Mott, you know, had the lion's share of Kinsmen horses, and John Ward, you know, got selective ones, and you got a selective amount. You know, it's funny, Javier Castellano was with us 2 weeks ago. We wanted to check in on Javier, who, you know, was basically in Florida and quarantined, staying with his mom through, you know, through the COVID symptoms and incident, and I brought up Bellamy Road with him, and it was kind of fun. But bring us back. How did it happen that you ended up with Bellamy?
Well, I had trained some horses before. Remember Diligence? I'll tell you a funny story real quick. Maybe your audience will like this one. So I go into your famous place here in Hot Springs, Arkansas. As you know, you could do two things if you come from the, you know, from New York especially. I think I'm one of the few New Yorkers here, probably. But anyway, you either go to DeLucas or you watch Gunsmoke, right? One or the other, right? One or the other. So, but anyway, so I'm in DeLucas, your favorite place there.
Yeah.
And the crazy man comes out, you know, Anthony Tony, he tells me this incredible story about how he's in the stock market and how he can't get a winner, this, that. But however, he bets on a first-time starter, if you can believe it. So I think Nick Zito, you could count him on my hand how many first-time starters, winners I had in my career, you know, Warpass or, you know, Birdstone or whoever. But anyway, this one, believe it or not, was a horse I run in 1996 for Kinsmen. Or George, Hank, and company. I think Hank bred the horse. You know, it has a lot to do with the mating. I'm pretty sure of that. Diligence. Remember Diligence?
I do remember Diligence, actually.
Yeah, so he had won first time out by a pole, and he was a nice horse. Then I started getting horses as the years went on. So now, that was in the 90s, you know, the late 90s. And I had worked for George for a long time. I had a Steve, honestly, I don't want to. Honestly, I probably could tear up a little bit, but I had a great relationship with George. But in any case, I actually took Shug to a Yankee game. He never went to Yankee Stadium when he went to the Yankee game, but I was very close with George and, of course, with Hank. But anyway, make a long story short, started with Diligence, and then it worked our way up. And then I got, believe it or not, as a two-year-old, Michael Dickerson had trained Bellamy Road. And then I had gotten him right after the two-year-old year, and he just blossomed. And a lot of people say, I don't know why Javi, he had won a nice race at Gulfstream, and then he won the Wood Memorial in record time. He won by 17 lengths. I didn't think he had to win that much, but in any case, he was a wonderful horse. And our relationship, it just continued for a while, and of course, Bill Mott had some great horses, and Kingsman, they're really good people, Steve. The Steinbrenner family, every one of them, are just really decent people and good people, and they're really good horse people. And of course, it started with George and Hank, and Hank's love was, he loved horses more than the Yankees, I think. But he was involved in the Yankees, too. He told me some interesting things about Rodriguez, how he wanted him, he figured that, he still had plenty in the tank. And actually, I think he had some good years. He said he was involved. I mean, Hal runs the day-to-day operation, as you know. But Cashman and company. But Hank was a very interesting guy. He really was. It makes me really sad that he's gone. It makes me sad that I didn't keep up the last year with him. But he's a funny. He was. You could ask Tommy and Jimmy. They'll tell you. He's hard to get to. I don't know, that's why people would say, like the family would say, did you talk to Hank? He's really sad, honestly. I wish you would be able to talk to him because, he would really love you and he would love to talk to you about racing. It would have been great.
I'm gonna bring something back because you made me look up Diligence and that maiden win.
Yep.
First of all, paid $21.60.
Yeah.
But, Nick, do you remember who was in that race?
Yeah, Gold Fever was second, wasn't he?
Gold Fever was second as the 3-2 favorite.
Yep.
And, of course, goes on to a terrific career and goes on to be a prominent New York stallion.
Yeah.
How about, first of all, Shane Sellers, we got to mention. Shane Sellers was aboard Diligence.
Yep. Yep.
Mike Smith rode Gold Fever. Fourth was Fortitude, who went on to be a stakes winner, and another first-time starter in the race was sixth. Pete Vestal sent out Ide, who went on to be a multiple stake winner. This was a huge maiden race.
Yeah. Kingsman bred a lot of great horses. We had Wondertross. I had some really nice horses from. But Bellamy Road was set. I think the one thing that Javi was, Javi is now Javi Castellano. But think about Bellamy Road, 2005. I think Johnny, was a little bit more. I don't know what's the proper word. You would know, Steve, you're great with the English dictionary. How do you say it? More adapt to writing, but he had a little bit over Javi. And I think Javi, if he had taken Johnny out a little bit, Johnny had just leaned on him all the way. We never got away from him. And that would have been a great tribute to Bellamy Road because he ran in the Derby, and then his next stop was the Travis, I believe.
Yep.
And that's a long time between drinks, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
To go a mile and a quarter and to win that would have been special. But he was a wonderful horse. And actually, he's a decent sire, too. He's had a lot of good horses.
He's very useful, there's no doubt. And I said to Javi as we were talking, we did a little bit of a career, kind of a career retrospect. And while Go Sapper may be the horse that, you know, the biggest horse that he's associated with. I said to him, to my memory, it was Bellamy Road, and that performance. And then when they hit the wire, and Javi, you know, like pointed with you know, he had his finger pointed like a gun up the stretch, and he, you know, because he was really not well known at that point, and he showboated a little bit, and it to me, it's the moment when Javi Castellano kind of got into the, you know, the horse player consciousness.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. And he rode another horse for me at that time called Euro Silver that won the Breeders' Futurity.
Sure.
And he was, yeah, and I was putting him on. He actually had a horse on.
That was Buck Ramo, no? Fustak. No?
Yep, that's right. That's exactly right. It was Buck Ramo. And then we had your ladies, Mrs. Weber, I think you and Andy were in the picture with In the Gold.
Yep.
I think he just messed. That was not a great ride one time, but
that was the Gazelle. That he won the Gazelle.
And he always mentions that, Javi, and I'm grateful to that. We have a good friendship, and I'm grateful that he's because you know in this game it's opportunity. There's so many great trainers, there's so many great jockeys, or you know, great people in the game, but if they don't get an opportunity, you could forget it. It's just like anything else. You know, you just need an opportunity, right or wrong. So he got it at the time, and he took it, and he's a Hall of Fame jockey, and one of the best there is. He's still great. He's a great jockey, there's no question.
Well, and he should be coming back pretty soon, I think. And I'm glad he came up, too, as part of this. Nick Zito joining us to pay tribute to Hank Steinbrenner, who died yesterday at 63 or Monday night. And Nick, a quick hit on what's going on down there at Oaklawn. Really the only game in town right now. Obviously we got Florida too. We've got Tampa and Gulfstream, but in terms of, you know, still the prime portion of the meet, Oaklawn doing great. And on Saturday, going back to Saturday, boy, I'm sure that Joel Rosario would like that ride back again on Hunt the Front. Kind of just left him with too much to do.
No, I think what happens, see, that's his style. Unfortunately, I was telling Ron real quick, you know, he's actually talking about giving him a start. Most people know I helped him get started.
Sure.
Certainly helped, you know, I mean, I didn't train the horses for him. I certainly helped him, and, you know, we got to be great friends, and wherever I knew then, I was trying to, you know, help him a little bit, and, you know, he's a great trainer. But I was telling Ron, I said, Ron, you know, let me tell you something about people that know about horse racing and that and whatever they do, they'll tell you, if you had post 12 and I had post 1, it's a whole different story. So I think what happens is it's too much to do, but you got post 12, you either got to make up your mind. So Joel did the right thing. He saved ground. He made, you know, nobody really, you know, pressed Ron's horse.
No, no.
That's a big thing. But I'll tell you, I was telling Toby and Lyndon, you know, his manager, and I was telling them, both of them, that it's always good to don't change the style of that horse, because it's always good to have a horse like that that's finishing the right way at the wire, if you know what I mean, Steve.
Sure.
So
sure.
It's always a good idea, because sooner or later, you know, he'll get into a deal where maybe someday, and hopefully it's a stake someday, a big race, that it's tons of speed, and or they just mix it up and here he comes. So that would be wonderful, you know.
Well,
it's a nice place, Steve. I know you've been here, and I know.
Yeah.
Like I say, now it's takeout, but I know you used to always go to that, the Lucas. But anyway, I'm watching the horses train now. There's a ton of horses on the racetrack. It's a beautiful day. It's a little cool. That's the one thing about Arkansas, people that know Hot Springs. The weather is so different because, you know, last week was in the 80s, and then it's in the 40s. You know, it's just a different type of thing. And then it raises up to the 60s in the afternoons or whatever. But they do an incredible job here. And I'll tell you what I'm really impressed about, Steve. Racing, as you know, you're the number one covering racing. If you look, our fan participation in the country, with, as you say, baseball and football and, you know, stuff like that. Oakland is trying so hard, because when you come in the gate, they have a tent set up. They have to take the temperature every day, but they're very diligent about it. And the separation of people, they're,
nice.
You know, they're very
nice.
Diligent. I mean, they're going out of their way to make sure that they can keep this open. And I got to tell you, I'm very impressed with everything they do. I'm very impressed, Steve. I really am. I don't say that lightly, because I have nothing, you know, whatever, let's say, you know, whatever the deal is, I don't have anything to gain by just praising them. But they are. They do a great job, and they're all about racing. And I'm glad, like you say, there's a few games in town that are open. And I'm glad you're on the air, because I tell you, I think, you know, for a little while anyway, people like yourself and some, you know, the media outlets that cover racing, that's the best we can do right now, because it's going to be a while, I think, before you see the fans in the stands. I really do. Hate to say
well,
that, but I hope
it, no, it, 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 that's no. That seems to be the reality, and it, as it happens, our sport and the industry overall is uniquely positioned to continue and to operate, and you know, obviously, there, you know, our situation in New York, you're going to wait until things stabilize and become, you know, become more acceptable to you know, to conducting, you know, something that, you know, even though it's important and it would, you know, constitute business and commerce, and you know, from a positive standpoint, under the conditions in the New York metropolitan area, you can't. I mean, it's just a little too frivolous, frankly. But there will be a point, you know, hopefully in coming weeks, you know, between now and you know, late May, that it's acceptable to, you know, to run under the, you know, under the same conditions that are allowing, you know, the other, you know, the other seven venues, Los Al and Remington,
right,
on the quarters,
right,
and
yeah,
Will Rogers and Fauner, and yeah, and then Oakland and Florida. So that format, this format, we can operate, because listen, 90% of handle was coming from ADWs anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's
true.
You know, we're
that's
suited true. To operate, at least to function.
Oh yeah, no question. Yeah, so I think there were records set, but I'm not mistaken. You know more than I do, but I think there were records set by all those tracks, right?
The little places, yeah, the little places,
yeah,
especially. I mean, are just
right.
This Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we're going to talk to John Lees here in just a couple of minutes. Nick, before we go, I do want to ask you about Theo, the orb gelding that comes back for a second start.
You know, yeah, I don't. Oh, geez, I tell you the truth. It's just that poor Marcerosa, you know, it's like everything else. I've bought so many great horses for people over the years. Who knows better than you? You know, I don't want to sound like Willie Stevens now, but at the end of the day, you know, for some reason, I mean, I've had a few good ones for them, you know, the Giuseppes and the Macarios and whoever else. I mean, you know, they look like they were pretty good, but I don't know. I thought Orb obviously hasn't turned the world on fire as a stallion, but this particular horse has just been such a hard thing getting him to the races. And I just hope the track, you know, here it rains a lot, as you could see.
Yeah, it's been rainy, very rainy. Yeah, it's been crazy.
So I'm a little worried about that, but he's a distance horse, and see if he could come back, whatever, he'd be okay. But I do have a couple of horses next week. If they get in, I'll be okay, and maybe they could get going again. You know, I've had a few, you know, I've had a bunch of few seconds, and
yeah, a lot of seconds.
But, yeah.
When's Tis the Journey run back?
Now, that's a nice horse. That's a horse that, believe it or not, again, he had an outside post, couldn't get over, tons of mud. You know, it seems like you're running. And you know what, Steve, you'll appreciate this. I would say to myself, man, Alan Jerkins, is there any way you could get this legislation passed and we could have mud corks again?
Well, they...
Chuck Simon, Chuck Simon.
Yep.
I mean, these horses can't handle it. And yeah. you put some stickers on there, man. If Tis the Journey or Hunt the Front had some stickers, mud corks, whatever, they handle it better. You know what I'm saying? It's just
absolutely
very, very hard. So we get a lot of rain here. They get a lot of rain. And, the weather's beautiful now, but here comes these cold fronts. And here comes, well, you see it on your television. You see it's tracks are off a lot. Nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, are you based on the start the other day? He started about 10 days ago. I would imagine there's a maiden special wait for Tis the Journey
yes.
closing weekend, right? In about three.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Watch for him.
Yeah, it's now Derby Day, which is Arkansas Derby Day.
Right.
It's now Derby Day. So there's a race that day, and yeah, Tis the Journey is a very, very nice race. So this is a funny thing, Steve. You know, you've been around the game a little bit now. You know about all these things, and you own horses, and that's what I love about you. You know, you got all your stake in the game. You know, you're not one of them.
Trying.
You put your money up. You support the business, which is great. But also, you love it, and which is great. But listen to this: the horse runs second. So the rider's complaining about things in behind. My groom has been with me, rub birdstone, whatever. And they're saying, you know, his testicles are bothering him. So I said, you know, this is going to be the first time I had a horse run second. But I said, you know what? We always talk about, you know, Kelso and Forgo, and of course, commentator and whatever. I said, you know what?
Sure.
I'm going to geld him. So this will be second time gelding. And, hopefully it works. And, you know, it's funny because he is by Tis now, but I said, you know, unless you win everything today, you can't be a stallion. You got to just win grade one races. That's all there is to it. I mean, you know, you could win some better, you know, grade two and place in a grade one and maybe wind up somewhere, but no one really wants them. Am I right, Steve? Today they just want to.
Well, what is Wayne Lucas say? What does he say? 98% of them should be gelded.
That's right.
He says to be the wait way too long, and you know that certain horses they could have, you know, they could have had real careers if they just had, you know, not delayed the decision to, you know, to geld and. Nick, so sorry about Hank Steinbrenner, and
yes,
wanted you to talk about him and give people a feel for him. Meanwhile, finish the meet strong. A couple of too many seconds, but still time to bring home a few wins to New York.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, Steve. Be honest with you. I didn't realize, I used to watch it with my dad, but Gunsmoke, I'm getting into Max Mueller and Miss Kitty, and I'm getting into Festus and, you know, Chester and Doc. I love them. I mean, they're like my family now. I watch them every night.
All right, you can discuss that and the Big Valley with Tina. She loves TV westerns.
I watched it. That was a good one yesterday. Good.
Unbelievable.
Well, thank you, Steve. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much for sharing that with me. But I wanted the people, your audience, to know about Hank. He was a really good guy. Really was.
I really appreciate it, and everybody enjoys hearing from Nick Zito. And you can follow Nick on Twitter as well. And not a big prolific Zito Racing on your Twitter. Doesn't tweet a lot, but send.
Steve, you got to remember, I can't even turn a computer on.
I was going to. I
still got. I'm talking to you from a flip phone. Are you kidding me?
I know. Yeah. That's exactly.
Oh, God bless you, Steve. Take care of you and Tina and the family, and keep our beloved Saratoga safe, okay?
Absolutely. Nick Zito. Nick, always great. Best to Kim, and we will see him soon. Nick Zito, everybody, to pay tribute to Hank Steinbrenner. Let's take a break. Come back. We got John Leese is going to join us from Will Rogers, and certainly deserves credit and appreciation for hearing the horse players. It just maybe what 3 hours of people saying no jackpot, why are you doing this? And because the tote company couldn't execute yesterday, no jackpot at Will Rogers, and John Lease will talk about it and talk about the meet as well. We're also going to hear from trainer Scott Young today, from who won the nightcap, and Scott will talk about training and racing at Will Rogers. Mitch Poole's going to join us from the Los Angeles Dodgers, and much more. We got a lot to do yet. And a good way to start, even under the circumstances, the passing of Hank Steinbrenner. Everybody loves hearing from Nick. Back after this, John Lease.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, about 7-8 minutes to the top of the hour. John Lease joining us, and of course you hear John during the summers at Del Mar and during the winters at Will Rogers Downs, and he wears a bunch of hats, and as I said at the start of the show, I hope that every Wednesday there's not going to be, you know, some big conflagration to extinguish, but it has been the last two Wednesdays. Chris Katulak last week joined us from Fawner. And John joins us now. John, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. And I have to say, excellent vocabulary right out the gate. Conflagration and extinguish. I'm in. I respond to that. I'm in. Let's go.
Well, Tina and I have been playing a lot of Scrabble, and so okay. I'm looking for triple letter scores as much as I can. So getting, you know, getting Q's and X's in, very helpful.
But seriously, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, and you're very kind. And we are certainly sensitive to the fact that we are the beneficiaries of, look, a global pandemic where tracks are shuttering their doors. We're not insensitive or tone deaf to that. But the truth is, it's been a boon for our track, Fauner, and those that are able to stay open. And they are exciting times for us. But again, we try to temper that enthusiasm appropriately.
Well, and I've said the exact same thing. I mean, it is all tempered, and there is, you know, the undercurrent that keeps things slightly subdued. But at the same time, to get this kind of exposure and to have the opportunity, you know, really for the horsemen and you know, for the region, Mid-American racing during the winter. I mean, this is, you know, these are meets that are bread and butter for the people involved. I mean, you're actually getting some ship-ins, and, you know, we talked about it yesterday with Marcus Hirsch. But I got to say, the thing that is going to have a lasting memory and the endearing of Will Rogers to horse players was the 3 or 4 hours yesterday that, proved to be ultimately a very satisfying outcome. And I explained to people this morning, John, that, you know, I got a question on Twitter yesterday morning. There's a rumor, or the word is that they're going to shift this new pick five to a jackpot. And you confirmed it later in the morning. And then what happened next is going to be part of racing Twitter lore.
Well, I'll certainly go for that. And you're right. It was a situation where what we do regret was all the confusion that was out there. And I get that. The truth is, things were changing very quickly. There were instantaneous decisions and communication going on very rapidly. The truth is, we're responding, Will Rogers is, of course, to this additional audience and business and the ship-ins, as you said, similar to what I think you saw at Fauner and heard from Chris Kutulak. They reacted to the demand as far as adding their pick five. We did the same thing. And so things were happening very quickly. The bettors have to remember, if they don't want to become too confused and frustrated, that it's not sometimes easier said than done. You can't just change and add wagers easily without a lot of approvals. There's a lot of red tape and things like that to go through. And every state is going to be different as far as the laws in that state for, you know, take out what you can and cannot do. The methodology is the word we use. So we understand it was confusing. A lot of it was changing rapidly. The track is trying to react quickly to these increased demands and things like that. But long story short, to sum it up, in the end, all's well that ends well. As I said also to Chris Kutulak when he was, I mentioned that to him the other day. I do think that in the end, we have a wager that clearly the horse players have spoken up and said that they like this methodology, at least for our track for now, for what this is. So again, 50-cent pick five daily. I believe it's going to stay on 2 through 6 as far as the races, or on a 10-race card. 50-cent pick five. And it's essentially a daily handicapping contest. The pool, minus the takeout, will be paid out daily to whoever has the most winners, period. 5 out of 5. If nobody has 5, everybody's going to get 4 out of 5, and so on. So everybody who bets that day is going to get their chance for a turn. The pool's going to be paid out. You know what I mean? There's no drawing it out. Yeah, there's no string along. And I tell you what else we're not hearing. Nobody wants it to pay 4 out of 5 for a consolation so they can collect their 620. Nobody has spoken up about that either. So win pick five, if you will.
Well, and you know, the one element of that, I suppose, worth discussing or considering is to create the potential for a next day pick five carryover, that if nobody hits 5, to not pay for 4 and to carry that over. Because pick five carryovers, John, have been, you know, really the pick six carryover of yesteryear. They've been very well received. And I don't mean a jackpot type. I just mean the next day carryover like Tampa had last Wednesday.
No, there's no question about that. So we'll just kind of see what happens with the wager as far as going on and how it goes, and continue to monitor that, I know, because it is new to us. And yeah. We'll just see how it goes. There's no doubt about that. There's a whole list of different methodologies that can be chosen from. And the one thing that I think is clear, though, if you look at the reactions on social media yesterday, and you alluded to it before, it's a very popular decision with the horse players, one, that they have been heard, and two, that it's as far as the jackpot and just the perception being that the track is not getting too greedy. Some people use the word robbed, which, you know, you see things like that out there. But as far as their feelings about certain jackpots and methodologies of wagers, the most important thing is that they feel that we're being fair to the horse players. So beyond that, we'll have to see what else we can do for the wager.
Well, it was a very welcome turnabout, and it was instantly recognized, and people were actually very gratified and surprised, John, at how quickly and the opportunity. I think it really, the way it played out was fortuitous, because the fact that United Tote could not get the programming done in time for the start of the sequence, that ended up being really fortunate. And then in the interim, obviously you and management sat down, and I do have to ask about the opportunity out of this for an increased social media, a communication vehicle, because there's very little information on the website about the racing product, and really a meager presence on Twitter, for instance, you know, in terms of communicating to players.
So I have to speak to that in two ways. First of all, social media, such as Twitter, has been a little bit slow to catch on in this region. That's the first thing. That's not an excuse. It's just a fact. Second of all, everybody does need to understand something that they may not. While the horse racing does go on at Will Rogers, because in the agricultural state of Oklahoma, horse racing is classified as a business of agriculture and therefore essential. The simulcast is closed. The casino is closed. And we are operating under all of those guidelines. But one of those is that because the casino has ceased operations, we have been asked to cease promotion of the racetrack. So it's a very tricky thing right now, because we want to be telling people about what we're doing because you have to, but we've sort of been asked to remain silent by the Cherokee casinos and some of the others. Remember, the whole thing is connected with the casinos and subsidies. Sure. And the whole thing with that. So with the casino being closed, it's very complicated, because we're not able to put out a press release promoting our new wager, but yet we are reacting to the new audience, and we are running. We're not pretending that we're not. We just have to be very careful about what we say to the print media, or certainly in social media. But yesterday, there's no doubt that the tweet that I put out that you're talking about was absolutely needed. And we got clearance from that, from the necessary people, to go ahead and put that out there. So
well,
I think we handled it well, but I just want people to have an understanding. We're not tone deaf. We are listening, and I know that what you said is accurate. We have very little presence on social media. Before, there was maybe not a whole lot of interest. Right now, that has certainly changed. People are starved for information, but we kind of have to play this dance, kind of a high wire act of what we say and what doesn't cross the line of promotion for the track. So just so that people understand that, that's why it's difficult for us to make that grow any quicker into any more than what it is. But just real quickly, last thing is, now that I've been given the clearance, I do intend to use my Twitter wisely and not excessively, and I promise it will be accurate and professional, and I will try, within my little box of restrictions, to give you guys as much information as I can. Are you in? Is that a deal?
Absolutely. Well done, John. And, you know, it's funny, because I think for a lot of people who, you know, who know you from Del Mar, when they've turned in, you know, turned on the Will Rogers feed, I think we're either surprised or in some cases, you know, tickled that you were at Will Rogers. Talk about how you ended up there and the association.
Okay, so that goes back actually to 2013, and it connects to my prior employment at Lone Star Park. I was the announcer at Lone Star Park in Grand Prairie, Texas.
Sure.
For 11 seasons between 2005 and 2015 was the year that I left that post. So in 2013, Will Rogers reached out to me, strictly needing an announcer for their spring thoroughbred meet, exactly the meet that we're running right now. That was 7 years ago. The days jived with the race days at Lone Star Park that I was able to do both at the same time. So I was driving up here from my condo in Dallas and calling the races Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, driving back down to Dallas and calling Lone Star Thursday through Sunday. That went on for a little while for those first couple of seasons. In 2016, in the winter, I was offered the opportunity to expand my role at Will Rogers and take the position of racing secretary. And I did, of course, take that and moved on from the position that I had strictly as the announcer at Lone Star to move into this expanded role. So I know that that's surprising to a lot of people that did not at all understand the background of the racing office. I do come from a racing background from the very beginning, though. My dad was Richard Lees, was a trainer in Southern California. I grew up more on the backside than the front side. But then beyond that, I got the opportunity to begin working in the racing office at Del Mar with Tom Robbins, and have worked there on and off with some times. And now David Jerkins, of course, is the racing secretary. So all of that went on, I think, very much under the radar, like you say, because people more know me either as the Del Mar simulcast host or as a track announcer. But that was always sort of brewing under the surface. And then when I got that opportunity in 2016, I took it to expand the role. So ever since the spring of 16, I guess that would make this season five, if you will, we've had this role of racing secretary, announcer, and now odds maker. So I promise, by the way, I'm working on that. I never should have made that Bill Morey horse 8-1. Please forgive me. But the thing is, here's the thing, though. First of all, there were scratches. If Lindonke yes. was in the race, you would have got yes. about 7-2. Second of all, guys, I'm not that sensitive, okay? Let me have it. If you don't like my line, you can let me know about it on Twitter, okay? We can take it. And it's going to get better. I maintain that it's mostly accurate. Some mistakes, but we're working on it, okay? Beyond that, though, that's in all seriousness. That's the answer to your question for the background there.
I love it. I appreciate it because I did not know the specifics. I knew your father at connection and was aware of the family, but how you ended up and actually when you bring up Lone Star, I'd kind of forgotten that going back to your days in the box at Lone Star. Well, John, I appreciate much like with Chris Katulak last week, I think. Will Rogers to be acknowledged for the quick and the decisive change and being cognizant of player reaction and horse player desire. And I think for you, for the business, it's going to continue to be great. I mean, this thing is pulling almost 200,000 a day, and the players appreciate the openness, the transparency, and the opportunity to to flesh out what transpired. And best of luck the rest of the way. The season goes to March to May 23rd.
Yes, that's correct. And Steve, I really appreciate you having me on. Anytime, be happy to. And we're just excited. We hope this thing can keep going. The truth is, these are exciting times here at the racetrack. So it kind of helps keep morale up in otherwise very yeah. difficult times.
Well, and it's important. We don't know, what Lone Star, where they stand. We'll try to see what Scott Wells, where he is right now with whether they're going to try to run themselves with their meet coming up soon. The region, we did see that Oaklawn making the announcement that they would not race beyond the scheduled closing weekend. A lot of this has to do with revenues associated with the gaming. And, the good news for both you, really for you, because, here is a Racino facility, but clearly the handle numbers are really helping, fill up the purse account. And it's important. It's important that those decisions and some of the things that you're doing go right to handle because it there's no other money coming in, from the gaming. So the best you can do on handle is going to be an important part of the purse accounts.
No question. And we get that we're the only game in town right now, but by the same token, the racing office is really proud of the product that we're able to put out right now, and the bettors are responding to it. So we're just really happy that there's some positivity and that they like our product right now. It's going to continue.
Well done. John Leese, I appreciate it. And for those of you that yesterday got to, you know, got to know John, John J. Leese, L-I-E-S, on Twitter. And John is your conduit right now for the Cherokee Casino, Will Rogers Downs. And when things normalize, if you're in Tulsa, which is one of my favorite towns, you go out just east to Claremont and to Will Rogers. And I think people are have put Will Rogers on their to-do list of racetracks to visit now, John.
I've also seen that on that thing called Twitter. You're right. They are talking about it now. So there you go. I love it.
Terrific. John Leese, everybody, who you probably know best from Del Mar, but are certainly enjoying his multiple responsibilities, from racing secretary to track announcer and morning line odds maker. And really the only people you're going to have to worry about are Ed DeRosa and Marcus Hirsch. Those are the two most vocal morning line odds critiquers.
I love them both. No, it's great. No, in all seriousness, too, last quick thing. If you're playing Will Rogers right now, which I don't know why you shouldn't be, you better read what Marcus Hirsch is talking about in the forum.
He's doing great.
He has figured out how to play the track. I can't say that there's a magic combination, but he's just a sharp handicapper. Long story short, his analysis has been spot on so far. So be sure to check in with what he's talking about. And let's be honest, that's why Sue Goy got bet down to 2-1. He talked about it. He touted the horse in the farm.
Didn't hurt.
Come on.
Didn't hurt.
That's right.
I love it. John Leese, thanks so much. Stay safe.
Thanks, Steve. You as well.
John Leese visiting for the first time. Very cool. I've had a lot of first-time visitors. And, in fact, Mitch Poole is going to join us. And Mitch is one of the owners of Fast Pharaoh from the barn of Jeff Bondi. But he's also the visiting clubhouse manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he's been with the Dodger organization for decades. And last night, if you watch the 1988 Game 1 replay, you don't believe what you just saw. Mitch Poole joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you are racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Here in Pennsylvania, we have the best breeding program in the country, thanks in part to our Racehorse Development Trust Fund. It's a trust, it's not tax dollars, and by law, our fund is completely protected. These are difficult days for all of us. When life in America gets back to normal, and it will, our PA breeding program will be here, stronger and better than ever. To learn more about how we're protecting the trust, go to PABred.com to watch a short video.
How's it going, Sue?
Hey!
Have you seen this commercial?
What career track are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck.
Isn't that the horse racing school that Bob Baffert went to?
Yeah, Todd Fletcher, too, and lots of other major players in every area of the industry.
Really? Like what?
Well, for starters, we have graduates who are executives at Churchill Downs, NYRA, Darley America, Gulfstream, Keeneland, you name it. They're also regulators, racing officials, bloodstock agents, track announcers. My class had a job placement rate of almost 90%.
Wow. What other college program has results like that?
What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Can you hear them talking about us, telling lies? Is that a surprise? Can you see them, see right through them? They have a shield, nothing must be revealed. It doesn't matter what they say. No one listens.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes into hour two on this Wednesday. And, of course, I mentioned the baseball tie-ins today. And our second conversation after Nick Zito opened the show to eulogize Hank Steinbrenner. Kind of a happier conversation here as another baseball guest ties in. And horse racing and baseball, horse racing and all of the pro sports, there's considerable tie-ins. That, you know, we talk about the hockey guys that are involved a lot, Eric Johnson, for instance, and so many more. But when it comes to the timeliness, it's just perfect because you read about Mitch Poole yesterday in the USA Today, and then right on TV last night, they replayed game one of the 1988 World Series. The Kirk Gibson, you don't believe what you just saw, home run. Mitch Poole was absolutely central to that story and has really spent his entire adolescence and adult life as a member of the Los Angeles Dodger organization. And it's an